Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. How's this?
Thank you, Phil, and let me add my welcome. Very nice to be here with you this afternoon. If you've not met, my name is Francis. I work just down the road at Evelyn Partners as an accountant. Now, usually that's one way to end a conversation, tell them you're an auditor, but thankfully I'm not here to grill you on the numbers. Because as we just heard, we are spending this summer, these summer lunchtimes, working our way through Psalm 107. But before we dive in, I want to start with a question. Where do you turn in times of trouble? I guess there are many places we could go, depending on the level of trouble or severity that we're in. Close friends and family probably come to mind, asking our parents for some sage advice, or chatting to our close friends about things that we're going through. Or maybe we look a little further afield. Google often seems to be pretty good at solving our problems. Or why not pop into the local Waterstones and pick up one of the countless array of self-help books that are on offer. The Forbes 2023 bestseller list includes some of these titles such as Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones, or The Four Agreements, A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom. You see, the market is full of books trying to help us with our countless problems and issues. And it's not just books, there are apps, podcasts, online services that are all trying to get us back on track to where we want to be. Some researchers even estimate that the market's worth over $13 billion. We've got a problem? Surely it's something that our money can fix. So there are lots of places that we could turn to. But the question is, how many of them actually make a tangible difference? How many of them actually solve our problems and not just push it down the road or defer it a little bit? Because we all know life can be hard and challenging at times. And we want a solution to our problems. And the quicker, the better. But what about if, instead of looking to another self-help book or an online podcast, instead of hoping that the sage advice would help us come through the week, what if there was another option? A more reliable one. Not just a quick pick-me-up, but a lasting solution. Well, as we look at Psalm 107, what we've been seeing is what the Lord is like. What's his nature like? What's his character like? And ultimately, that's the writer of the Psalm's purpose. Jump with me briefly to verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Whoever is wise, let them consider what the Lord's love is like. Now, I don't know where you're at, whether you call yourself a follower of Jesus here, or whether you're just looking into things, asking questions. It's great to have you with us. But wherever you are, I want to say this. Psalm 107 is for you. Because as we dive into it, it sketches out what the Lord's love is like and gives it to us in great and vivid detail. And so the question then becomes, have we, like the psalmist, considered this love of the Lord? And more importantly, what does his love make to my life? Whether we've been a Christian for many years or perhaps investigating for the first time, Psalm 107 is a reminder that this love isn't a depiction that we see in the movies, a soft, emotional love. But it's something that runs far deeper and far stronger. And as we see it, we see that it pulls us closer to the true nature and heart of the Lord. Now, if you were here last week, we saw how the Lord's love satisfies and provides for the wandering soul. And today, as we jump to the next section of Psalm 107, we see another side to the Lord's love. And it's this. The Lord's love is of powerful nature, and it has a great impact for us here and now. We're going to see three things this lunchtime. You've got them on the sheets there if you want to follow along or make notes. We're going to see the cost of rebellion, the cry to the Lord, and the change the Lord delivers. And we'll start by looking at those first couple of verses, verses 10 to 12, and the cost of rebellion. The scene that Psalm 107 takes us to initially seems a pretty bleak one. Look down at verse 10. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons. I don't know whether you've been to any old school dungeons or historic monuments, perhaps on a visit to a castle, you jump down into the basement, and it's not really a place that you want to stick around for very long, often underground, dark and cold, water dripping in slowly through the cracks. And there's not much light going on. Being a prisoner down here would be pretty grim. Even as a visitor wandering around, we get this sense of unease, sense of on-edgeness, that we don't want to be down here. It's squalid conditions, barely humane, not a place you'd want to find yourself in. So why does the psalmist bring us here? What are the reasons that these people are suffering in the shadow of death? Well, verse 11 gives us the answer. Because they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. The cost of rebellion against God leaves them as prisoners in chains, behind bars, with no one to help. I wonder if we think that this is a bit extreme, a bit harsh from the Lord. And surely it's a bit removed from where I am, where I stand with my relationship with the Lord. I reckon I'm nice enough on balance, more or less, most of the time. Interestingly, a study done a few years ago by a psychologist at the University of London asked Brits this question. Do you think you are nicer than the average person? The results came back, and 98% of the British population thought they were nicer than average. And it's true, isn't it? We often try and puff ourselves up or try and show off our best side to those around us. And we might think the same way towards God. But the Bible speaks of the reality that all of us turn away. All of us reject him and his words. We want to do it our way, without the Lord in the picture. We're actually the rebellious type. Our choices and our actions speak volumes when it comes to who's in charge of my life. My life, my choice, and the idea of listening to the Lord's words? No thanks. I'm all good. Yet we see from this psalm that there is a cost to that attitude. There is a price for rejecting the Lord like this. It too leaves us in that dark, cold, unbearable prison. Even though we might not feel like it, our broken relationship with the Lord means that we too face the shadow of death. That's the reality for me. That's the reality for all of us who turn away from the Lord. And it doesn't make for easy reading or comfortable reading. It's not one that I really want to hear on a Tuesday lunchtime. But our actions towards the Lord means it's what's coming. But thankfully, Psalm 107 doesn't finish there. After the cost comes the cry to the Lord. What's a natural response to being in trouble? It's surely to cry out, isn't it? We know this for ourselves, that scream of frustration when things are just too tough to deal with. Or that cry out in despair as life just piles itself on us week after week. If we were back in that castle dungeon, in that castle prison for ourselves, it would be our natural inclination to cry out, get me out of here. We're in need of saving, but we can't do it on our own. And I guess the cry acknowledges something of our weakness and our helplessness, but there's more to it in Psalm 107. It's not just a cry out into the darkness. It's not just an empty call, hoping that someone might pick us up. No, what's distinct about this cry is that it's the Lord. It's calling on the Lord to save them. Now, I guess this might seem pretty striking, because remember, it was the rebellion against the Lord that put the prisoners there. But what it shows is the realization of a need for the Lord. The people in darkness, facing death, facing desolation, realize their only way out, their only hope, is to call on the name of the Lord. It's not going to be their own strength or own resilience which is going to get them out. It's not going to be by their own sheer willpower that they're going to be able to break these chains. No, who has the power to save in a situation like this? It solely is the Lord. Imagine for a moment that a little child is walking out with his father on a walk in the countryside. It's a hot day, and they're walking alongside a river which has crystal clear waters, and the little child is eyeing it up. But the father turns to the child and looks him in the eye and says, "Son, listen to me. The river is deep. It's fast flowing, and the sides are high. You won't be able to get out if you jump in." The child stares at the father, but then shrugs his shoulder and proceeds to jump into the river without a moment's thought. All seems well at first, but then he starts to get tired. And he goes to get out, but his little arms aren't long enough to reach the sides to climb out. Who does he cry out to in that moment? He calls for his father. Though he knows he didn't listen, he also knows that his dad is the only one who's going to save him. His dad is the only one strong enough to get him out in that situation. And there might be part of us thinking, yeah, I know Cush got away, but we're too prideful or stubborn to come back to him. Or we think he won't listen to me after all I've done. Well, look at what happens in verse 13. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. The Lord didn't just hear the cry and then ignore it. He heard those who had rebelled against him, and he lifted them out of darkness. The cry to the Lord isn't an empty attempt by the people to win the Lord's favor back. No, it's because the Lord loves his people that those who call on him are saved. It's through the cry to the Lord that we see the rescue plan come into full action. So we've had the cost, then the cry, and finally, the change the Lord makes. This part of Psalm 107 really wants to emphasize on how the Lord saves those in darkness. It's not just a comforting pat on the shoulder or words of encouragement. No, the change the Lord makes is a punchy one. Just take a look at verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Or verse 16, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. These verses show us something of the Lord's power. He loves his people so much that he's willing to do something about it. He's willing to go to great depths to rescue his people, to those who cried out to him. A few years back, I got fully hooked into a TV show called Prison Break. Now, as the name suggests, it's about a man called Michael Scofield trying to break his brother out of prison. And the plan is to build a tunnel, to dig underneath the prison and to bring them out to safety. There's one hitch, though. For the plan to succeed, for the plan to actually work, Michael himself has got to get himself inside the prison. And so he stages a robbery in order to make it inside. Because you see, Michael loves his brother so much that he's willing to put himself in the prison. He's willing to give up his freedom in order to get him out. The plan eventually works. The tunnel allows them to get out and get back to the freedom that they had before. Yet the way we see the Lord act isn't by some covert tunnel operation underneath a prison. No, the Lord's act is far more powerful. You see, he breaks down the gates. He cuts the shackles loose. He cuts through those bars like a hot knife through butter. The Lord has power to do something in this situation. He's powerful to perform a full-scale, all guns blazing operation. No holding back. He's going all in. And this is what the Lord's love is like. It demonstrates his power to rescue his people. Let's go back for a moment to that scene with the child on the river. He's jumped in against his father's instructions. And when he cries out to his father, what does his father do at this point? Does he ignore his child because he didn't listen to him? Or does he dive headfirst into the water and carry the child out to safety? Of course he does. He loves his child. It's his son. He cares for him deeply. And he has the power and the ability to save him. And this is what the Lord's love is like from Psalm 107. We're like the struggling child who's ignored the father's ways. And the Lord is the father who responds to the child's cry. It's not a passive backseat love. It's not a hypothetical or weak love. The Lord's love is fully displayed through his power to save. And so where do we see this demonstrated for us? We see it at the love that stands at the heart of the Christian message, the cross, where the Lord sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to save his people and to take the punishment for our rebellion. That's where we see the Lord's love and his power combine. The love to send his son in our place and the power to save through the act of the cross. It's an amazing and wondrous act that is like no other love in this world. And so what are the implications then for us in 21st century London on a Tuesday afternoon? Well, it comes back to that repeated refrain throughout the psalm that we see there in verse 15. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. If we're trusting in the Lord this afternoon, if we'd call ourselves a Christian, then this is a wonderful reminder of the Lord's love for us, the depths that he would go for his people, and the power that he has to save. When we feel weak at the end of a manic week in the office, the Lord is still strong. When we're struggling to stay afloat amidst our endless, ever-growing to-do list, the Lord still has power to strengthen us. When we're suffering, perhaps for being a Christian in the office, the Lord is the one who lifts us up and gives us strength. And he does this even when we've rebelled against him, even when we've turned away. But those who call on him can see and feel the Lord's power for ourselves. So take heart. Marvel at the Lord's love. Marvel at his power. And give thanks that though we were once in darkness, facing the shadow of death, his powerful love means that we can stand in his presence, fully assured of our place with him. I guess it's worth saying that this doesn't mean that all hardship and trouble and suffering just evaporates into thin air as a Christian. The Christian life isn't always easy. It's not all plain sailing. And the Bible doesn't say we're going to have a stress-free life. But when it comes to the comfort and the security and the knowledge of the Lord, we're going to see that his power far surpasses any challenge or any significant task that we're going to face. His love outlasts all the hardship that we'll go through and brings us safely out to the other side. Perhaps we're here this lunchtime looking into Christianity for ourselves, debating whether it really is something worth trusting in. Well, I hope from Psalm 107, from the little chunk that we've seen today, we've seen a little bit more of what the Lord is like. That his love runs far deeper than any kind words or self-help books. Perhaps we've never thought about calling out to the Lord for help, asking him to help us, even though we've strayed away from him. Well, the Lord loves to hear people come back to him. He loves to save them. And the invitation is open to all, no matter our past, no matter our history. Why not ask the person who invited you along here? Ask them, what difference has the Lord's love made to your life? I reckon they'll have certainly something to say on the topic. So as we wrap up, I wonder whether this is a side of the Lord's love that we've really clocked before. Love can be often displayed as emotional, tender and soft. Yet here in Psalm 107, we see the Lord's love displayed as his power to save. Even when we rejected him, even when we pushed him away, he brings us out of the dungeon and into the light. That's where we're meant to be with the Lord, enjoying his powerful love, safe in his arms. Psalm 107 is good news. It's good news because as we see more of the Lord's love, it shows us how much we need it when we stray and turn away. It shows us how the Lord's love is deeply relational for us as he hears our cries. And it shows the impact, the lasting impact that his love makes to our lives in the here and now. We've seen the cost of rebellion, the cry to the Lord, and the change the Lord makes. And it shows us that this is a love like no other. This is a love that stands the test of time. It's a love, as the psalmist puts it, that is steadfast. In times of trouble, lots is on offer. But the steadfast love of the Lord beats them all, hands down. So don't miss this in the hecticness of our busy diaries, or the strains and stresses that pull our burdens left, right and centre. This love of the Lord is good. This love of the Lord is powerful. And this love of the Lord is steadfast. Why don't I close in prayer? Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you that though we may waver and stray, your love is steadfast. And more than that, thank you that it is powerful. Powerful to save, powerful to break us out of the chains of darkness and bring us into life. Pray that we may never forget this love. Pray that we may dwell on it richly and marvel at the nature and the character of your love as we see it played out in our lives day to day. In your name. Amen.